Hi guys, we're about to start the show, but before we do, I would really love it if you could sign up to my weekly newsletter. It's called The Fix, and it's packed with exclusive insights, news, and the latest research on how we can advance women at work. I will also share what you might have missed during the week, like a podcast episode or one of my interviews that I've published in Forbes. So please hop onto my website, michellepking.com, and sign up. Now let's get started with today's episode.
They actually utilize their activism through the brands that they support. So they're making purchase decisions as a part of their activism. I think generations over time certainly like supporting a company that does good, but they see this as very much inherent to themselves as activists. And that is just taking that a little bit of a step further. You know, 65% say buying from brands that give back to the community is important. That's a pretty big number, and it's very much tied back to those social values.
On the show, we've interviewed senior business leaders, advocates, and even celebrities who are passionate about making the world an equal place for both women and men. But on today's episode, we wanted to highlight a generation that is critical in this fight, the Gen Z girls. They're a generation of tech-savvy, socially conscious young women who are keenly aware of the kind of world they want to lead. I'm Michelle King, and you are listening to the She Innovates podcast. It's a show that tackles the challenges and achievements of women in areas like innovation, technology, and entrepreneurship. Today, I have the pleasure of speaking with Melissa Kilby and Anna Blue, co-executive directors at GirlUp. Together, we're going to be unpacking some interesting findings from their recent report, which surveyed more than 3,500 girls aged 14 to 19 across seven countries, including the United States. As a lot of you know, I work with some incredible organizations that empower young women and girls. One of those organizations that I'm on the advisory board for is GirlUp. Hosted by the UN Foundation, GirlUp is an organization that supports young women to become leaders of the gender equality movement. Since launching in 2010, the organization has impacted the lives of more than 80,000 girls worldwide. So Anna and Melissa, I am just so grateful to have you both on the podcast today. And I really just wanted to jump right in because there's a ton of stuff that we need to cover from the survey that you published in June. So I thought, you know, maybe Anna, we could start with you and get you to share a little bit of background for our listeners, you know, what the aims were with this research, why it is that you guys decided to undertake it.
So this project has been about 2 years in the making, and really, it came from the girls themselves. It comes from the amount of interactions that we have with our teen advisors, with our club leaders, with girls at the Leadership Summit, sort of being very woven into this world of Gen Z girls. And there are things that they correct us on. There are things that they come back to us and say, that's not what we think, and that's not how we feel. That's not the word choice that you should use on all types of things. They also guide the issues that we're talking about, the way that we're talking about them. So we really started to think, why don't we share this with the rest of the world? What if we told everybody else what Gen Z girls think and how they respond and how they want the world to respond to them and to recognize them? So it very much was born out of this idea of sharing their message that they are constantly giving to us, but with the rest of the world, because we're in a really unique position to do that.
You know, Anna, that's so great that GirlUp is really taking the initiative to understand, you know, what matters to Gen Z girls and to share their message. I just wondered, Melissa, you know, how did your partner organizations respond to this?
I think our partners were also asking us these questions. And I think that when we have been building partnerships with corporations and different brands, a big part of the appeal is that they're getting their brand out in front of this generation as well. But they're constantly learning from us in the process of like what works with them and what doesn't. And so I think the flip side of wanting to share what we know about Gen Z with kind of the broader world is that we also knew that we thought that brands and definitely our partners would want to know this too, because we kind of have this ongoing conversation with them as well.
So one of the questions I know a lot of people will be thinking is, who is Gen Z? What is that generation? Could you share a bit about, you know, who the respondents of the survey were? And then also, you know, what the survey was asking them. So what were the focus areas? Anna, maybe we can start with you.
So generally speaking, for the survey specifically, we looked at ages 14 to 19. So Gen Z, really, it goes younger than that, but for us, the high school age was really important to target, given that that's who's involved with Girl Up and our leadership program. So we did 14 to 19. Gen Z goes from like age 5 to 19. So it's a pretty big span of that generation. We looked at 8 different categories. So we really wanted this to be wide. We wanted to look at perspectives of Gen Z girls sort of across the board. So it's global citizenship, gender equality, media, gender and identity, lifestyle and personal values, tolerance and mental health, family, and then STEM and education. So really, again, all the things that we've been hearing them talk about and them communicate was important for them. And then this is Melissa. I think an important part of that Anna touched on before is that the girls actually helped us identify these topics. We actually had different topics initially that we wanted to ask them about, and they were like, no, that's not what we want to tell you about. You didn't ask us anything about gender. You didn't ask us anything about identity and fluidity. You're asking way too much about brands and marketing, and we see through that. And so it was really important, and I think we're so happy that we did partner with our girl leaders as we created the survey, because they actually kind of shook the whole plan up and gave us a lot of feedback of what they wanted to share and what they felt like was really important to include in this. So it really was created in partnership, and those topic areas are a great example of how they helped us kind of rethink what we should be asking about.
You know, I think that's what really sets this report apart, that you involve the girls so heavily in the design of the research. I just wondered, Melissa, for you, you know, what were some of the standout findings? So could you summarize some of the results and what really kind of hit home for you?
One of the biggest things kind of across the board was that we saw a lot of contradiction in the responses. I think that's just, if you know teenagers, like that's not surprising, but just the way it played out in the data was really interesting. You know, the places that they're very open-minded, but then the other aspects of their life where they're still very much influenced by their family, where their confidence comes through and where it doesn't. So just like across the board, and I think Anna can share a couple of specific things that stood out to us, but that was something that we really saw in each of those categories where they didn't totally contradict each other, but you could tell that they were transitioning through, you know, being a young adult and having their own perspectives, but also still having a lot of influence. And I think another thing that stood out was where that influence was coming from was a bit surprising.
And what about for you, Anna? I mean, could you expand a little bit on what Melissa just shared there and, you know, what particularly stood out for you in terms of the survey findings?
Yeah, for sure. So, Michelle, we've talked a lot about STEM, certainly. STEM was a really interesting one because the girls have identified that it's important for them to have equal education and equal access. It was an overwhelmingly high statistic, but less than 50%, only about 42% feel like they actually have equal access to STEM education as boys do, which is really interesting. When you look at the markets that we did this global study in, access to education is pretty even. So to see that specifically on subjects like STEM, they don't feel like they have those equal opportunities or access to education. So it's really interesting. And I think for us, as we went through this, there were so many things where we want to actually then dive a little deeper and be like, so why? Like, you can take the same classes, what's stopping you? And so I think, there will probably be some part twos and part threes of some of this, but it was really interesting to sort of hear what they feel like is possible, but what they actually feel like they can do with it or can access or apply. So the STEM was an interesting one. The role of men and boys is another one of sort of in this movement of the ones that feel like they're seeing boys and men as activists, as people standing as allies for gender equality. And then I think it was close to 70% who actually feel like boys are participating in the feminist conversation and the feminist movement. So it's interesting. And then this is Melissa. Another statistic that jumped out to me that I thought was really interesting for the brand that we're hoping, you know, will find this information interesting is that, you know, when you think about influences and trusted sources of information, a lot of people pay people a lot of money to be influencers on social media. And this generation has kind of started to see through that a little bit. So, you know, only about 50% of them actually think that celebrities are a trusted source of information because I think that they understand that they're getting paid. Whereas maybe millennials didn't pick up on that right away. And so that became a really huge point of influence in marketing budgets and in other advertising decisions. And I think because this Generation Z has grown up with social media always, they see it differently. And so that one really stood out to me as well as an interesting point about the generation that's starting to make consumption decisions themselves and over the next few years will be much more independent in that way.
That's really interesting, you know, because there seems to be this kind of common theme, right, that keeps coming up, which is authenticity. You know, Anna, I guess my next question then for you is, you know, did you find that there was an overarching theme in terms of how they responded?
Across the board, social values was a really big thread throughout this entire survey and the results. It was really about how they are seeing the world through the lens of social values, whether it's their friends, how they're looking at marriage, how they do or do not conform within their family, how they're approaching a lot of things, but especially their buying power, especially the brands that they're interested in and the perceptions of those brands all have to do with social values, which is very, very unique to this generation.
Yeah, I mean, that really is interesting. I wonder, Anna, you know, is the kind of whole sort of social values focus something that is specific to girls?
I would say yes, just from having a teenager and being around teenage boys for the last 6 years. I do think that this is the socially conscious and the connections that get made, I do think are heavier on the side of girls. Not to say that there aren't socially conscious boys. I mean, we're certainly seeing the rise of youth activism as a whole and boys are participating, but it does fall a bit heavier on the side of girls, I think, in terms of connecting the dots, connecting the environmental and sustainability impact of a brand with their social values, with the products. Like, I think they're just connecting the dots in a little bit of a bigger way.
This is Melissa. I would guess that Gen Z boys are probably more socially conscious than other generation boys. Like, there is that ripple effect. But, you know, obviously, we know the girls from the girl up perspective.
So look, I just wanted to move on to sort of what the message is for brands and businesses who may be interested in some of the results from this report. So maybe we could start with Melissa. You know, maybe you can share a little bit about kind of what some of the key takeaways are for organizations.
I think, you know, kind of a headline takeaway that was one of the very first insights that we pulled out as we looked at the data is that, and Anna alluded to this before, but just to call it out more specifically, they actually utilize their activism through the brands that they support. So they're making purchase decisions as a part of their activism. I think generations over time certainly like supporting a company that does good, but they see this as very much inherent to themselves as activists. And that is just taking that a little bit of a step further. You know, 65% say buying from brands that give back to the community is important. That's a pretty big number, and it's very much tied back to those social values. So I think purchasing as activism is a new concept that if I were a brand, I would want to know that so that if I had any question on whether I should be taking a stand, speaking up, you know, supporting an issue, prioritizing my CSR story, that would be a big push in that direction to know that my future and youngest customers are going to expect that.
Yeah, but I guess the key to all of that, though, is delivering it in an authentic way. I mean, what are your thoughts on that, Anna?
Absolutely. One thing we are constantly hearing, and Melissa mentioned this before, is how much girls see through things. This generation is uniquely exposed to so much more than any other generation because they are from the time they're walking, technology exists for them. So all of the things that even millennials came into, cable TV was still a thing. There were, you know, all of those things don't exist for Gen Z. So they are coming into this fully blown open world where they have access to all of the information, and it's up to them, even starting from a young age, to process and decipher and kind of go through. And so with that, the authenticity for them is really big. Traditional advertising is not going to work with Gen Z. The way that families are depicted, the way that the community is depicted, the way they are depicted is not going to work in a traditional sense when it comes to brands and advertising. They view gender differently. They look at brands through a very, very different lens. And so it's just important for brands to understand that, to understand that this generation is coming at everything from a really unique perspective, but a place of a huge amount of authenticity.
So look, I just wanted to shift gears now to gender equality, because there are a couple of questions in the survey that sort of specifically look at how girls view gender equality. So Anna, you know, could you maybe share a little bit more about what the report found?
Yeah, absolutely. So an interesting thing is they're all aware that gender inequalities exist. There was an overwhelming majority that recognized the gender pay gap, felt like it was a really important issue. But when you sort of turn the lens around on them, you only had about half of girls who actually felt like they had experienced gender inequality, which is an interesting thing because they are so aware of it at a macro level. But when they turn it around, and I would guess that most of them have actually experienced it, they aren't aware of it. It's such a deep-rooted thing in our culture of all the ways that gender is divided and unequal from very, very early ages that by the time they're in high school, it's just a part of the culture. And I don't think that they're quite aware of it yet. I certainly wasn't. I was very much aware of what was happening to other girls in other places, but not yet recognizing until I became an adult, until I started to recognize the way that it was happening in my life. So I think that's still very true of them, that they want to fight for gender equality as a whole, that they understand that there is not equal access or equity between men and women, but they don't entirely understand how that has and will continue to impact their own lives.
Yeah, you know, and confidence, which seems to be a really key issue for girls, you know, in terms of their physical appearance and the anxiety and stress that goes along with that. I mean, Melissa, you know, maybe you could tell us a little bit more about what the survey found in relation to confidence.
I mean, I think that what we found really interesting was the connection between, you know, stress and anxiety and sort of that pressure that we absolutely see every day with our girl up leaders who are very ambitious, you know, trying to excel in every aspect of their life and change the world. And then how that actually correlates with some of the different countries that we spoke to and how some of those confidence levels actually plummeted in the communities, like even within our own girl up girl leaders, that their own confidence wasn't as high, you know, sort of the more ambitious and more stressed that they sort of identified. I think what's really interesting too that we found is that they're very confident in their sort of gender fluidity and their sexual identity, but like much less confident in their appearance, which was a very interesting contradiction that we pulled out. And you know, it's like there's this open-mindedness about the world and there's some specific aspects of themselves that they're very open and fluid on and very sort of allowing and forgiving of themselves. And then there's these traditional aspects of physical appearance and the things that we've been all struggling with as women for generations that we just haven't broken through yet. As intersectional and open-minded as they are, we haven't made this generation feel better about how they look. And you're right, like that, I didn't feel very good about that. I think there's a lot more to be done. And I think that brands have a huge role to play in that. And starting to see some of the brands who have really started to depict women of all colors, shapes, and sizes, the whole movement around airbrushing, like you're seeing this come from Gen Z. And I think the data that we found and the insights really back up the move towards that and how much brands can actually affect that. That's one of those statistics that they can directly affect with their advertising.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that makes so much sense. So look, before we end the podcast, you know, maybe Anna, you could share what your final message is for organizations who may be interested in the report. You know, what are some of the key actions that they could look into as a result of the report's findings?
So I think this is a really great learning opportunity for any company or brand or organization that interacts with the top line insight, but also the deeper report that we have that will sort of dive deeper into some of the comparisons to previous generations, some of these contradictions, and kind of peel those layers back a little bit. So it's a great opportunity for organizations to just learn, to really start to look at this generation, to separate them out from millennials, who we understand right now is a big consumer base. And that's great, but there were so many ways that we hear partners and brands constantly say that they missed the mark on millennials and they don't want to do that with Gen Z. So here's your opportunity to change that and to really start to get to know this generation before they are making the bigger consumer decisions, because that's coming up pretty soon for a lot of them. So if you start talking to them now, if you start understanding them now and understand how to better communicate with Gen Z and advertise to Gen Z, I think they will be set up for much greater success.
Interesting to have Melissa and Anna here today sharing the results from their survey and all the amazing work that Girl Up is doing. If you're interested to learn more, please check out their website, girlup.org, where you can actually take action or donate today to support the organization. Today on Fairy Godboss Insights, we're going to be talking about diversity and inclusiveness in tech. According to a 2018 study, discrimination and bias are still major problems in the tech industry. Based on the DICE Diversity and Inclusion Report, 85% of women and 62% of men believe gender discrimination still exists in most tech companies. The research found that creating an inclusive environment which attracts and retains female talent in the tech industry is still a huge recruiting challenge. In fact, today, women still only hold 26% of all computing roles. In addition, the consulting firm EY recently reported that only 11% of girls plan to pursue STEM careers in the future. To succeed, the tech industry needs diversity, and that can only be achieved if companies start to create environments that support girls, women, and minorities to pursue a career in the field. If you're interested to learn more or share your views, please check out fairygodboss.com. So I really hope you all enjoyed our episode today. If you haven't already, please follow me on Instagram for updates. And I also post news and stories on my LinkedIn, so feel free to connect with me there too. Thanks again for tuning in, guys, and I'll catch you all again next week.
She Innovates is produced by Human Group Media, a company that inspires people to do good through the power of audio storytelling. This podcast is made possible by SAP NextGen, an innovation platform that enables everyone, from individuals, companies, partners, and universities, to connect and innovate with purpose. In doing so, SAP NextGen supports the achievement of the Sustainable Development Goals.